Have you ever thought about how you want to be remembered? This is Lisa Berry, and there is someone most of us are familiar with who thinks about that a lot. Hosting a podcast, now writing a book, appearing on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and hosting the Henry Ford's Innovation Nation. Welcome to 89.1 WEMU, Mo Braca. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Lisa.
Mo has a new book out called Mobituaries, based on the wildly popular podcast of the same name. Yes. And when reading through the notes of the book, it states, Mo Braca loves obituaries. How did that happen?
I got it from my father. My father always said the obits was his favorite section of the paper. And my father was not a gloomy or morbid person at all. He had a real sense of the romance of life. And great obit writers will say this, that an obit is about somebody's life, not about their death. You're reading somebody's story, and if it's well done, it has a kind of sweep and a drama to it that's in fact sort of revitalizing to read.
I wouldn't say it was my favorite part, but I did read the obituaries a lot. I do read the obituaries a lot because it gives you perspective, you know, on, hey, you're still lucky to be here at this point, and look at the different ages of people. So that's sort of my mini obsession with it. Do you think it gives you perspective on life as well?
You know, that's a you've put that really well. I think it does. I also think that this is an overused word these days, a pivot point. But you do read someone's life and you go, would I have done what he did at that juncture? Oh, that's interesting that she chose to go this way. And I think you are even subconsciously, if not consciously, thinking about your own life as you read someone's obit. I also think I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a competitive obit reader. Where you're thinking like, oh my God, he did all of this by the time he was 22. What have I done? And then you go, oh, thank God he went to prison when he was 43.
Well, so you are learning about yourself when reading other people's obituaries.
Listen, it's all about me when I'm reading about someone else's life.
Right. When did you start the podcast, Mobituaries?
This all started about 2 years ago, and the podcast was a medium I had not tried before. But you're a radio person.
Right?
You know it's basically another word for radio.
Absolutely.
Right? That's what it is.
But people can listen to whenever they want, wherever they want.
Yeah, exactly. And I've really liked telling stories this way. It is different than using television. Television involves a lot of people and a lot of hardware. You show up and you can't just sort of do a casual interview with somebody for television. It's hard to do that because you've got all these lights. But you know, when I wanted to do a podcast on the life of Billy Carter, Jimmy Carter's younger brother, it helped that it was just a microphone, sitting down with his widow and their wonderful six kids and hearing about this man who is much more complicated than we remember.
So Mo Braca turns the podcast Mobituaries into a book, Mobituaries, Great Lives Worth Reliving. Just so you could expand on that, or you had more people you wanted to talk about?
There were a lot more people I wanted to talk about, and there's certain, about 60% of the book is original material. The life and death of the station wagon, that's something that's easier to write about than to do a podcast about. Also ancient history, people from pre-recorded or pre-sound recorded history. It's just easier to write about Hadrian's Wall, the Emperor Hadrian's Wall, which is sort of the first great wall. Important to remember, the Mexicans did not pay for Hadrian's Wall.
Okay. Thank you for pointing that out.
I want to make that very clear.
Where do these ideas come from that you write about?
Well, you know, I'm the kid who liked the variety pack of cereals growing up. You know, I'm the person who wishes
Fruit Loops?
Fruit Loops, Sugar Smacks, Cocoa Puffs.
Okay. You like it all.
Yeah. Special K. There's always one in the variety pack.
A little judgment.
Like, you have to eat it because it's good for you.
Right.
But I'm interested in a range of things. I mean, one thing I've sort of committed to in the podcast and the book, because at the age of 50, as he takes a drag on a cigarette.
That's
not
you?
Really. Yeah. Yeah, I'm 50. I look like I'm 30, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
That's why I love radio.
Because we all look so young. Really,
exactly.
Believe us. I found in my career that if you're interested in something and you execute it well enough, people who didn't expect to be interested in it will become interested. And I really do believe that. I don't believe I believe in not trying to game the system. So in choosing this variety of topics, I really wanted to stick to things that genuinely interested me, not things I already knew about.
Right.
I wanted to learn about things,
okay,
but I didn't want to sort of go, ooh, this will appeal to this demographic and that to that demographic. So it's I have a range of interests, and that's reflected in the book and the podcast.
Did I hear the essence of you saying the importance of being authentic in what you do?
Yeah, I think that's another word that's kind of become leached of its meaning because it's been so overused, authentic.
You think?
Everybody's always talking about, oh, he's so authentic, and usually that, I mean, I don't know if that, it's become a big, not, I'm not saying you're using it the right way.
Okay, thank
but,
you.
But you hear it a lot in Hollywood, like, oh, this will be so authentic. And I think people can sniff it out when you're forcing something. So these are, you know, I was reading a biography of Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine is in the book.
Right.
And there was a single line in the biography about a man named Carl Linnaeus, a Swedish botanist in 1735 who disproved the existence of dragons. For millennia, people had believed that dragons were real. I thought that was so fascinating, the death of a belief. And that was – so that's the kind of thing. I didn't know much about it, but it definitely was an itch I wanted to scratch.
See, to me, the death of a belief sounds sad.
Well, I mean, look – I mean, do I wish that dragons were real? I like Game of Thrones, sure. But I mean, I'm not sure that I would call it sad. I thought it was sort of fascinating that this Swedish botanist shows up in Hamburg in what is now Germany for this hot exhibit of a seven-headed hydra. Everyone in Europe is like getting tickets to go see a seven-headed hydra. He shows up there and he walks in there and he goes, guys, this is a bunch of snake skin sewn together with a weasel skull and some monkey guts stuffed in there. This isn't real. And then everybody goes, oh my God, for thousands of years we believe dragons and their ilk are real. Well, it turns out they're not. I mean, I think that's a kind of wild story.
It is a wild story, yeah. And we're not even going to touch on Santa Claus because you are in town. You're in Michigan because you're recording some of your segments for the CBS TV show, The Henry Ford's Innovation Nation. Are you feeling the history in Dearborn?
I do feel the history in Dearborn. And, you know, I gravitate towards projects where I can learn. I know that sounds awfully precious, but that's one of the reasons that I love hosting the Henry Ford's Innovation Nation.
Yeah.
That museum is a treasure. I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area with the Smithsonian. The Henry Ford can hold its own with any museum in that collection. It's an amazing place. And I get to go three times a year and spend several days each time in that museum just soaking it in. I absolutely love it. And it plays a role in the book. I have a chapter on the death of the station wagon. And one of the great curators over there, Matt Anderson, the curator of transportation, is someone I interviewed and who figures in that chapter. And Kristen Gallerno, the curator of information technology, is part of the Ada Lovelace chapter. Ada Lovelace was the world's first computer programmer.
Wow. So what do you learn? We learn, right?
Kind of. I want to be your point of identification, yeah.
Yeah. What is your favorite? Do you have a favorite between the podcast and writing the books and being on TV and being on Wait, Wait? Got a few things going on. Is there anything that you can say is your favorite?
It changes, but I have favorite parts of each. I mean, what I loved about writing this book, which credit where credit is due, my co-author Jonathan Greenberg is an old friend and was indispensable. I couldn't have done this on my own. I loved visiting people that we had kind of written off and giving them another look. And somebody like a Billy Carter, who we remember as a joke, the younger brother of Jimmy Carter, but was a complicated, hardworking, funny, ultimately decent guy.
So here I am talking to Mo Rocca, and I was authentically name-dropping that I would be talking to you. And someone said, oh, I heard you might be the next host of Jeopardy.
Whoa, I haven't heard that.
You had not heard that at all?
I've not heard that. Wow.
We don't want to jump the gun here on that.
Certainly not.
Is that, no, but is that something you're interested in?
I mean, boy, that would be flattering to even be considered, really.
Yeah. All right. So you heard it here first. And of course,
it's an honor to be name dropped.
And I cannot end this conversation without asking you, how would you like to be remembered, or what do you want your obit to say?
I think I'd like the first line to be Mo Rocca, comma, who made people interested in things they didn't expect to be interested in, comma, died today, period. He was 135.
You thought this out?
Yeah.
Okay. That's Mo Rocca. His new book is Mobituaries, Great Lives Worth Reliving. Thanks so much for joining us here on 89.1 WEMU.
Lisa, thank you for having me.